I'll try it one more time.
Okay, go.
I choose you.
Really?
Is that what she says?
I don't know.
I thought it was like a, oh, brother.
Okay, try it again.
No, I don't want to do it again.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 476 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam? What's going on in Vancouver specifically? Love is in the air, obviously.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day, which also...
Want to know something? Whoa, hold on.
Whoa.
Hold on. I just spat that out. Now I look over. I see the picture of your wife. That's what her shirt says.
Mm-hmm.
That was not intentional. Those were two separate things.
Subconscious.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Love is in the air. Your turn.
It's Valentine's Day, and it's also a professional development day, meaning my children are with me today.
Do they still do the Valentine stuff at school, or does each kid have to get one from each kid?
They sort of do it. Like the kids this year, they're grade 5 and grade 7 now. So there's very little of it now. Like I think a few people brought some stuff. It was optional, I think. And then maybe a few baked treats from a few parents in the classes, and that was it. Yeah. It used to be a big thing, right? Where everybody brought something, and now I think it's, well, again, maybe it's just because my kids are getting older, but it's sort of died down for their age group.
So let's assume you have, like, I don't know, 26 kids in the class or something.
Sure.
And if each kid has to make one for each kid, that's 650 total Valentines.
That math seems not right.
If each kid has to make one for each kid?
Oh, I see. Total Valentine's going around.
Complete Valentine's. That's 650 Valentine's.
Okay. All right. I trust your math is right.
That's excessive.
Mm-hmm. But they don't. Like I just told you, it's died down.
Right. Okay.
Plus, I think there's a class size restriction, so there's no 26 kids in a class.
No. What's the restriction?
Oh, no, it was 22 or something.
Okay. I was way off.
Yeah. You're way off. Well, okay, times so that many Valentines, you just cut out like 100 Valentines.
No, you just did. You just dropped about 33% of the Valentines. You're down to like if you have 21 kids, well, now what do you have now? 420 Valentines.
Are you just showing off now?
To whom? Like, unless Will Hunting is listening, nobody cares.
Okay.
All right.
Just clearing that up.
Okay. Yeah, just doing some mental math for you.
Okay.
Amazon. You want to buy a calculator? Check my math. Get it on Amazon. Click to our site. Help us out.
Okay.
You know who you help out? I just saw our boss, Jeff Bezos, bought a new house for like $175 million or something big like that.
Where did he get the house?
Oh, here in Tubingen.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all of Tubingen.
Wow.
No, Beverly Hills. It was in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Still, that's a lot of money for a house.
It makes more sense, though.
But I think, since we're technically employees of him, the way I think so, that's how it works, I think we get it for 2 weekends out of the year.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll try to coordinate that, you and me. I get 2, you get 2, and that's 4 together. We can maybe just go down and spend July down there.
Awesome. All right.
All right. Hoser's road trip.
Yeah.
Anyway... Click through our site, help us out. I have not bought anything on Amazon in a while, so I can't regale you with any boring stories.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I have to make a few baseball purchases upcoming. So
I thought you just did a bunch.
No, I have them in my cart, but then this weekend will have already happened by the time this airs. But we're going to a hockey tournament in Washington, just across the line for us, and so I might stop at the big sporting goods stores. In Canada, our sporting goods stores do not rival those of the U.S.
No.
So we're going to go check out, there's a big sporting goods store just across the line.
Big Five?
It's actually a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Dick's.
Yeah, so big sporting goods store in Bellingham. So we're going to check that out, and I'll have an idea of whether or not I see everything there. I might just pick it up that I want, and if it's going to be not really much of a cost difference, I'll just buy it on Amazon. Being that Canadian dollar is very poor right now, so everything costs more in the U.S. Yeah, I think it's about 75 cents on the dollar.
Okay, remind me to talk after the show. I got some tips for you.
Okay.
Yeah, but no one cares about them here, and they're not, not a sponsor, so...
Okay.
There's that. Finished the front hallway renovation.
Hooray.
It was way more work than I anticipated. That's always how it goes. I think once you crack the seal on a job like that, it's way more work than you think.
Okay.
Like, a little bit... Like, I ended up, like... So, when I was putting the doors together... The door frames come in two pieces, like one with the hinges on it, and like it basically fits through the wall. And then once that's cemented in, you then put a cap on the other side.
Sure.
But you, so you have to measure the width of the wall and buy the proper door frame. They come in different sizes, different standard sizes. So I measured the wall. I measured the previous door frame that I tore out of there, and bought the exact same one. Got it on there, and we're a few millimeters too short.
Okay.
So basically, like the door and the door frame are up in the bathroom, but then on the outside, like the face side, the frame doesn't fit to cap the other side of the wall. So you just have like kind of like the bare cement wall there. It looks ugly.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that piece didn't quite reach through. I needed about depending on the various variants and 3 to 4 mils. On all around in order to make it fit. So I had to get the old sander out and the grinder, and wow, does that make some dust.
So I basically it's all solved.
It's all there. It's all solved now.
You did it.
Yeah, but so what ends up happening, I'm just giving you, this is the heads up.
Can't wait for the details. Yeah, give me the details.
No, I don't care. It's not going to affect me. I know what to do now.
Okay.
I have learned my lesson. I can give you a heads up.
I'm never going to avoid this yourself. I'm never going to do this.
Not all about you, though.
Okay. All right. Nobody else is ever going to do this.
No one else does home rentals. That's right.
No.
So here's the deal. And this should not come as a surprise to you when you're grinding down like the plaster. I don't even know what it is. It's not plaster, but it's not plaster on the walls. And you're grinding it down to make it fit. It creates a metric ton of dust in a very small area.
Okay.
That very fine white dust. And so even though I closed off all the doors and confined, like sealed up the area, put towels at the base of the door to make sure nothing could get out, it filled that room, and then also dust settled in around the rest of the house. Like, it was just insane how much dust this makes.
And then you photographed it.
No, I didn't bother photographing it. But here's the thing. Here's where the rub happens.
Okay.
You can only get so much of that dust off the wall. And it's kind of like a reddish sort of magenta wall. And thus, you can only get so much off, which means you're forced to repaint.
Oh, that's too
bad. Yeah, I had not factored that in to doing all the doors and then the baseboards and all that. So I had to repaint and then do all the baseboards, which I've done. Did the baseboards, got them all in there, fit like a glove-ish. Because walls aren't straight. I don't know if you knew this, walls aren't straight.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a delight. But I figured out on my own and then had some help on to affirm it. I invented something that's already exists, again, by the way.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, just around the corners of some of the walls, like the exterior corners, the walls are rounded, and so you can't just do like a 45 angle because the baseboard sticks out too far, like at a point. Looks stupid, and there's a gap. You just can't do it. So I invented basically like a three-piece corner to try to cut that corner. And went and cut some scrap and designed my own little move, which, guess what? It completely exists in the real world. They've been doing it for like the Romans were doing it thousands of years ago. So, again, I invented something that had been around for millennium.
Great.
Millennia.
And then you photographed it.
I did, but I'm not going to send it. Why would I bother? I did the guy I was talking to, my go-to guy who you know.
Hey, you want to know what else they've invented?
Shortening up conversations?
No, I was going to say home reno podcasts. Pretty sure that's a thing, right?
Reminder, photo challenge, portrait, hashtag right. that, Two Hosers monthly challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers, or this month you can just hashtag it, Adam is a loudmouth.
You know what? I have a few notes for you from last week.
Okay, what's from last week?
Just from the podcast.
Let me get this out there. It is portrait. We want to see a portrait of a non-family member.
Right.
Post that on Instagram with those hashtags I mentioned. Even better, make sure you at us, tag us at Two Hosers to make sure that not only we see it, we being me, and can then find it later. That's the issue, is because I don't capture them. I don't do a screen grab as they come in. I do it like basically just before the podcast. We record the podcast at the end of the month, like an hour before. I go and I capture all of them, so that way when people post late, like myself, we make sure we get them. But that means if you posted it earlier and just included me in a comment, it's very difficult for me to find again that day. So use those hashtags at Two Hosers. We're good. Now, notes from last week.
Yeah, I told you.
You listened?
No. Well, I'm forced to listen to probably about the first 15 minutes of the podcast when I take Sarah to dance.
Okay.
And so, you know, she has a few notes for you. They're not notes from me. These are notes from your listening audience.
Note number one, find your new co-host.
No. She's very happy with the performance of the co-host. That is not
the problem. You.
Yeah, this is not the problem. The problem is you.
Oh, okay.
And she says that really you need to step up your funny, that maybe I built you up too much on a previous episode saying that you were going to be funny, or that she thought you were funny. Last week she said you didn't bring enough of the funny. And she would like you to bring your A game this week. So I don't know if that's pressure or not, but she definitely felt that you left a little in the tank last week.
I saved it for Valentine's Day, man.
Okay, maybe that's what it was, yeah.
Here comes the good stuff. Okay.
And from my wife, she just says, this is a terrible podcast, we both should quit, and that's it.
I'm happy to be a guest spot on her podcast.
No, I don't think she actually said that, but I just thought I'd add that in.
Does your wife know that you do a podcast?
No, I don't think so. Oh, yeah. She does, only in that I bother her occasionally for a photo or to be a photography assistant on photos for my kids, and then she hates the podcast.
Okay. I'll try to tell some really funny jokes then for Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Remember what I said, we shouldn't waste too much time in the beginning?
Right.
Yeah. Fumbled that ball.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I've been working on my end of year hockey movie / slideshow. Like I've done it for hockey, I've done it for baseball, sort of my thing, take some video clips, take photos through the year and then mesh it all together. So I've been consumed with that little project the last little while.
Will it be better than the baseball one?
Baseball one was pretty darn good.
I was not taking this opportunity to rip the one that you did, but it was very good, but you should improve each time.
Well, it's very different, just shooting hockey and baseball. One, obviously you get the dark arenas and you get the glass up around the venue. And so if I'm not on the bench, which I don't like to always go on the bench because I find it a little bit intrusive for the coaches and the players. So from the stands,
do you not go in the dressing room?
I did. So to take my dressing room clips, because I build up the speech, the coach speech. And now kind of like slideshows, I've become like, you know, in terms of doing it well and doing it quickly, I have a bit of a formula now. So, you know, I use the same hockey speech that I used last year, but fortunately nobody that was on our team last year is on the team this year. So nobody except for Jack will be the wiser of,
Russell.
Yeah. I'm using the miracle speech. It's only really good speech that fits for hockey. I'm using that. And then, I have dressing room, getting ready video and coach speaking that I've mixed all together, which again, that part is pretty easy. I know how to shoot that and I've already done that. And then I've had video throughout the year. So I just pulled clips try to include all players, have some goals, some nice passes, and then some kids just crashing into each other all over the place. I like the silly blooper stuff. Mix that all in. Fortunately, our team has won a bunch of tournaments, so I get a lot of all the players dumping onto the ice, swarming the goalie. We've had that happen 3 different times. So I've got those videos with the celebrations. And then I do what I do. About 5 minutes of video is kind of the formula, mixed to some music, and then 5-minute slideshow. And I use that same song last year that I love. They play at the World Juniors for hockey, Roots by the Reclaws. And that's just a great hockey song too. So
okay,
it all mixes in. So all in 10 minutes. You probably know it if you heard it. Yeah. And if you watched any of the World Juniors, they play it nonstop during the World Juniors. It's kind of the official song of the World Junior Championship.
Okay. I did watch speaking of the World Juniors, a little over 5 weeks ago, I did watch it courtesy of you.
That's right, yeah.
I was able to figure out with the VPN and the TSN app and the whatnot, and so we watched the game live via the TSN play-by-play here on the big TV. Running it, I would say it was running at about 15 frames a second, though. So it was a little bit choppy.
Right.
So not ideal, but still better than not watching it at all.
Right.
All right.
What about you? Did you shoot anything?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Perfect. Yes.
Well, I did, but it's the topic today, so we'll save it for later.
Okay.
Photo challenge. Bounce flash.
Right.
This was inspired by your one last week, so this is back-to-back bounce flashes for you.
Yeah.
But you went a different direction this one, so let's have a look at yours. You went full Valentine's Day. I'm assuming that the red and white Pearl Jam shirt with the love is in the air and the love of your life is Valentine's Day.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So I took, this was fortunate. Well,
hold on. Sarah, that was actually a mildly funny joke, the red and white Pearl Jam shirt. But you had to be around in the mid-90s, which I don't think she was.
She's not going to laugh.
Not even the mid-90s. This is early 90s. Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, thanks for that clarification.
Are we back? Are we back with plaid?
Yeah, plaid is good. I like plaid.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't like plaid?
No, I don't know. It was like I as soon as I tossed all mine out, it came back, and it was a big deal again.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, all right.
So I just liked that this was her attire yesterday because they kind of did Valentine's Day at school. My wife's a vice principal. Today is a pro D day, so the kids aren't going to be there. So they kind of, all the schools sort of did their Valentine's Day thing yesterday. So she came home and she's wearing this. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. I need a challenge photo, bounce flash. You're in the perfect Valentine's attire. So I just went looking for a kind of neutral space to take a photo, which I did in my bedroom. And then on camera flash, just flagged it so it wasn't going to be directional, like the flash wasn't going to be coming straight at her on axis. And then I used my daughter with the giant bounce board to basically, I bounced it off the flash off the wall in front of my wife. And then my daughter stood camera right and then created the fill from the other bounce. So this is a double bounce. It's a bounce off the wall and then a bounce back to create the fill. And you get kind of a clamshell-ish kind of effect. That's sort of an up and down clamshell. Really nice catch lights because you get the both catch lights on either side of the pupil, which was kind of the effect that I was hoping for. And it just worked out. It took a bunch of practices to get the catch lights where I wanted them. But I really... really like that effect. I know people make sort of their own, I don't know what you call it, apparatus to create these kind of side-by-side catch lights around the pupil. I like the look. Yeah, I've seen different apparatuses. Is that a word?
Like apparatus on camera that makes that or what?
You kind of shoot through what I've seen is kind of lights where you have a strip light on each side and then you shoot through it. So it's on axis. But you shoot through the whole of the two lights and then you get the up and down, like it almost looks alien-like. This one, because the catch lights don't go the full length of the eye, you don't really notice it looking off at all. I just like how it sort of it looks without really being distracting.
And so you're bouncing the flash camera left.
Bouncing it left and then reflecting it
but
back.
But enough reflection is coming off to give that shadow.
Right.
Okay. That's what I knew there was something up here because so that, you have her lit. You're essentially lighting the left side, her right side of her face, but camera left is the main light. And then, however, I see the shadow coming on the exact same side, which was made me think, okay, I'm not really sure what's going on here.
Yeah. And that's because the big silver reflector is very close range.
Uh-huh.
So the wall in front of her is a bit hot. So it's been cropped. But mm-hmm. basically that's where the big light's coming from. But with this crop, you don't see it. And then, yeah, the reflection is pretty strong enough to reproduce that sort of shadow against the wall. And she's obviously really close to the wall too. So it doesn't take that much to create that shadow.
Right. So why did you go silver bounce instead of white?
Because that's what was set up on the bounce, and silver,
and you have one of the 5-in-1 jobs, right?
Yeah, and I use silver the most. It's the most powerful, and so I really thought, okay, I didn't know how much light was going to come back, and this was like, I want to say I did 2 test shots, and I was like, that looks good. Like, just to my eye, I didn't want it to be too contrasty, and so this was just enough. Like, it's subtle, but it's there. And that's kind of what I was going for. It wasn't meant to be a moody shot. It was meant to be a lighthearted Valentine shot. So I thought, this is good. Just a tiny, knocks it down a little bit. So I liked it and I didn't really overthink it.
No, I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just, it would result in a different result. I can't believe I just said result twice in the same sentence.
Yeah, you wouldn't get as much. You would get definitely darker. That the white wouldn't bounce as much light back.
Well, it wouldn't bounce as much light back. It would. It might fill in enough. It would give you a little more contrast. It wouldn't light it as even as you have it here. This is really, to my eye, it is really close. It's not flat, but it's not 2-to-1. Like it's like the left and the right side are very, very, very closely balanced.
Yeah, I would say so too.
So the white would have pulled that down a little bit, yes, but there would be no shadow on the wall, which maybe you need as we discussed from a couple of weeks ago with my weird leaning self portrait, where I am leaning against the wall, but you can't tell. That might have been the same thing here had you used the white.
Okay, we'll never know.
We'll never know. No, we might know. Would you recreate this with the white if you ever unzip it? It's the unzipping it and flipping it around is not going to happen though.
No, that's a bridge too far.
That is, we've talked about the 5-in-1 bounce before, right?
Yeah.
Don't do it. Honestly, do not do it. What, like, you do, you're, it on paper, it is awesome. Oh, man, you get 7-in-1. Get 7-in-1. That's even better. It's more. And then you're like, oh, I don't want it. Just use the gold. I don't care. Like,
And that's more or less why I leave it on silver, because silver's pretty much, I mean, if it's too much bounce.
But what's on the flip side of your silver?
I back up. Good question. You know what? The white is easy because I just unzip it. The white is kind of like the base, like the actual thing is made like with a translucent white. And so I can just take it out and then it is the white one and it goes
Hang on. That's a silk though, not a bounce.
No, but it still works as bounce. I've used it.
In theory, yeah. I guess, yeah. No, it does. It does. It does work. But like, so the idea being that the five, we should revisit the 5-in-1. But I don't think we've ever actually specifically talked how to show about the 5-in-1s. And spoiler alert, that'll be in March sometime. But the way mine shakes out is white's on one side, silver on the other. And then you flip it inside out and you got black on one side, which, hey, you know how many times I've used negative fill? 0 times.
Right.
I never use negative fill. Come on now. And then so that's black and gold. And so sometimes you do want to use gold and then you're like, now I got the black and there's, I'm not using that. Should have been white and gold and then white and silver. That's what they should do. Okay. Never, you don't need the black, guys. Come on. Moving on.
I don't remember what's on the other side of the silver, so.
All right.
It's not
focal length on this. This is your 6D, right? Or your 5D classic?
Nope, 6D with a 50 mil.
Okay, so with mine, I started out with the 50 mil, and it just, I couldn't get far enough back from my daughter, considering the shooting situation I was in, that she just looked really goofy. And so okay. I, at the very, like, we shot a couple tests, and then she flipped over to the 85 just to make her look reasonable. So there you go. That's my daughter. I basically wanted to utilize my new white doors. Now that I have, like, I'm legitimately excited. Not just that I have the new white doors part of that reno project, but now, photographically, my house just got infinitely better.
But you're shooting her on a blue background.
Yeah, I use the door for the bounce.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Was I going to bounce blue light and have her out of the white background?
I was just confused. I was confused.
We've been doing this like 9 years, man.
Blue background. This is your new office, right?
Yeah. And I wasn't going to do it. I was like, plan was to go out in the hallway and use one of those white doors with the sort of reddish background. But once you did the Valentine's theme, I was like, you know what? I don't want to double up.
Gotcha.
So I was like, you know what? Well, okay, I'll stick to my office. I'll basically pull the white, the door that you saw last week on the cover shot, it's a terrible, terrible album cover, the gray t-shirt. What do you expect for gray t-shirt, by the way? Like, the topic last week was gray t-shirt.
Right.
And so the accompanying photo is, it's not going to be an award winner. It's not going to be, oh man, that is iconic. It's going to be terrible.
Okay.
However, you didn't even see it. It did feature my new doors. And so I didn't want to shoot them again. Just wanted to use it for the bounce.
Right.
So that's all. That's all. It's like, but basically just maneuvered it exactly where I wanted it. So I could, because using a door, obviously you can angle it how you feel. And then the rest is pretty much in the title, bounce flash.
Right. This is all on camera bounce, right? Like, I don't know if we specify that. I thought it had to be on camera.
I assume so too. That's what I did. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's on camera.
Looks good. Looks like the grade 3, you know, photo that you might get if you went to one of those little studios. Like, that, it sort of looks like a little studio shot.
I think in order for that to happen, you'd have to either add like a little hair light or maybe some fill. I had zero fill on mine.
Yeah, I don't know that it needs it, in my opinion. Yeah. You get some that the hair is lit just fine with the bounce from the direction it's coming.
Yeah. It's all right. There's something going on here that's odd. Like, I'm just noticing this in real time. I don't love this photo at all. We snapped a couple. It was okay. But there's a certain, just the angle of her, forget the technique for a bit. It's bounce flash. We know what that is. We can do it. Like, that took about 4 seconds to accomplish. But just in terms of posing her, having her where she's standing and then turning her chin, there's a weird little angle going on, and I can't describe it, but you look at the center of her nose to the center of her lips, there's a weird asymmetry going on.
Yeah. I see it now.
And I assure you, in real life, IRL, that's what we call it, she is symmetrical. She's not.
It's funny, I didn't notice that at all. I think my brain just did the math to put it into perspective, but now that you say it, I see it now.
Yeah. What do you call that little bit of, right, like where the mustache would grow? What do you call that?
Oh.
Like the center, like right below the nose.
Yeah, there's a name for it. I don't know what it is offhand.
Yeah. Probably something Dutch. I don't know why. Hoopfelganger. I don't know. Hoopfelapfel.
Sure.
Maybe. Okay. I don't think that's what it is.
So there you go. Bounce flash.
Bounce flash. Yeah. That was it. All right. Moving on. Topic this week. 99 Wasserballons. I only say that because there's no way you're going to look at the album cover.
Okay.
That's the title this week.
Say it again.
99 Wasserballons. Wasserballons.
Is that water balloons in German?
Yeah, but you know the song. Oh, you probably...
I don't know the song.
You do know. How many German songs do you know?
Zero.
No, you know a number. Like, first of all, I know you're a humongous fan of the Scorpions, for one.
Okay.
Aren't you?
No.
Winds of Change?
Well, I know it, but I couldn't sing it.
Dude, how many times have I been in your car and the first song that comes up is Rock Me Like a Hurricane?
Yeah, that's only because there's a hockey tie-in for that's a rink song. Yeah.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. It's Nena, 99 Luftballons.
Okay, I know it. Again, I couldn't sing it, but I know it.
Don't it? Are you daring me to sing it?
Yeah.
No. I'm not going to sing it. Point being, okay, so this week I did shoot something interesting, and I think so. You tell me. I think you'll find it interesting. The people who run the organization, the baseball club, we put out like a schedule, like a flyer to put around town every year before the season starts to advertise our home games. So here's our schedule. Here we go. And they wanted to do something they saw online where they wanted to use a girl from the softball team and a guy from the baseball team. And they really liked this smashing water balloons motif.
Okay.
So I posted a couple of samples. First of all, what do you think of them?
Yeah, I like them. I like the one in particular of the guy where it's coming right at you. The other ones,
yeah,
they're fine. I mean a couple of them look like test shots. So I just see two actual photos that you might be presenting.
Okay, I posted the two final images I posted, and then I posted two behind the scenes ones that we'll talk about later.
Right. So the one of the guy where it's facing you head on, I really like that, and the other one's fine.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What's the difference? What do you like about one and not the other?
Well, A, it's coming right at you, and the whole frame is filled with the water. So you know you're tossing water balloons. They're hitting them with baseball bats, and the side profile. You know, you've got, it's a very different look. It's almost a little bit even distracting because the bat is consumed by the water. And mm-hmm. so there's no point of contact. So there's no water balloon. So it's fine. It doesn't really.
Okay. So hold on. You know, they're water balloons. I mean, you photographically, like ahead of time, you knew what this was anyways.
There was a commercial last year. I can't remember who the commercial was for, but they did this in slow-mo with video.
Okay.
I can't, insurance company or whatever. I have to look it up to see what it was. And I actually thought of doing that because the commercial was so well done. I was like, oh, that would be fun to do with photos because, you know, you could stop it and do this. I never did it. I actually didn't. I wouldn't have done it on black background, although it looks cool. I would have probably just done it at the diamond just so you get the baseball background.
Well, okay. There's a rub there, of course.
Okay. Yeah.
I would have too. Yeah. I probably would have done black background at the
ballpark. No, black background's fine because it stands out because you get the water as it bursts. You get you know, that contrast with the if you light it from the right angles, which you have done, then you get a really cool effect on the black background with the water. But yeah, it just I think if it was done on a diamond, you'd get an even cooler effect, especially if you could really knock down the ambient and still really make the water pop. You get something that looks really, really cool. But
if you knock down the ambient, though, how are you going to see the diamond?
No, just knock it down enough that it's dark, so it's not the prominent feature. Okay. So you don't want to light it evenly. Yeah, just low ambient. Yeah. But yeah, no, I like the idea, and it's funny, right away I thought of that commercial. Of course, I can't think of what the commercial is for. But yeah, when the guy's looking at you and the falter, you clearly see that it's a bat. You see the follow through. You see where he's looking, which is, you know, theoretically where he made contact with the balloon, but it looks cool. You don't have to know it's a water balloon. It's fine to not know it's a water balloon.
It's better if you don't. This was brought to me as, hey, can you shoot this? Like, and so this has been, obviously I didn't invent this. This has been shot before besides the commercial you've said, which I'd never heard of, but they brought some examples to me and said, hey, we like this. Can you do this? And I said, well, maybe I can. I mean, I can. However, it's February, so maybe. But the idea, idea isn't, hey, look at us hit water balloons. It's just, hey, this is something visually interesting.
Right.
Right? Now, sure. I think you look, if you look close enough, you know that it's water. I don't know that at first glance, if you don't have any photographic background or haven't seen that ad, I don't know that you look at this and go, well, they're clearly hitting water balloons. I mean, if you look closely, I suppose you do. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just know because I've seen it done before. But if you've never seen it done before, I don't know that you'd care. You, like you say, it's visually interesting.
You're going to look at that and go, oh, okay. So now also, the reason I chose these two images, I shot both of them from each angle, okay? But I shot these specifically to fit in with the basic outline of the flyer. Like they did a mock-up first, you know, with all the with basically images they found on the internet of other people, and just threw those in as placeholders and said, hey, can you make it like this? And so, you know, generally what I would do if one of them hit left-handed versus both of them hitting right-handed, I would have shot each of them each direction and that would have fit in nicely. But now I wanted to have one sideways and one head-on just to show the difference and also to fit in thematically with the final image of the flyer. So do I like the other one? I think I like the head-on one as better as well. What is funny to me is they both have their eyes closed, and they did in every single shot. It's apparently very hard to hit a water balloon and keep your eyes open. All right, so, hey, spoiler alert.
I wasn't listening anyways.
Our internet cut out right in the middle there, and now I forget where we left off. Did I leave off with saying, hey, I shot one in one direction for the flyer and then one head-on so that it would match the flyer? Is that where I left? Did you hear that part?
Something along those lines. Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
That's exactly what you're saying, yeah.
Okay, great. So let's talk about how I did this and how this all came about. As I said, the executive came to me and said, hey, can we recreate this? And I said, yeah, sure. However, do we have to do this in February? And the answer is yes. We need to get our flyer out ahead of time. We need to get our flyer, our schedule out well before the season starts in beginning of April. So we don't have that much time to do this.
Okay.
So the challenge on what is the big challenge on this? There's two different challenges that are going to happen here. What one of them? This it needs to be dark to shoot this,
right?
You need to be able to, as you said, you need to be able to kill or at least control, but in this case, kill the ambient, because with the water, how are you going to even see the water? What's the key to seeing this water, Adam?
You have to light it.
Okay, more specific than that.
To see it?
In order to see this water, how do you have to light it? Ambient light is not going to cut it for this.
Right.
It'll
flashes.
Look okay.
You're going to have to use flashes.
Okay, I'll answer my own question. You need to backlight this.
Oh, you have to put the flashes behind.
Anytime you're going to light water like this, rain, fog, whatever it is, backlight, backlight, backlight. Okay?
Okay, sure.
That has to happen. Now, that means you have to be able to work in a dark environment. Okay? Now, the issue being, if you go out and shoot at noon on a Tuesday in full sunlight, you can't kill enough ambient to have that flash matter. That flash has to be the primary source of light in order for that water to really pop off the screen.
Right.
Right? So you want to shoot in the summertime because you can shoot at night and it's not freezing cold. Well, for us to go and shoot, like I could go shoot now at 6:45, it's dark enough. We could then control the ambient, except when it's sub-zero temperatures and you're hitting water balloons, that's not going to be fun.
Okay.
Someone's getting pneumonia.
Sure.
Just kidding. That's not really how you get sick, but okay. It's no fun. You're going to be outside and you're not going to have too many shots at this. And guess what? You need a number of takes to get something usable on this.
Okay.
So that means you got to shoot inside at this time of year. If you can't shoot in the summer, you got to shoot inside at this time of year. However, What's the downside of that?
Good question. You want to get water everywhere?
Yeah. Do you want to get? Can we shoot this in your kitchen?
No.
You can't do that. I mean, you're going to have water everywhere.
You also have to be able to have space to swing a baseball bat around.
You have to have space to swing a baseball bat. So the only logical solution, I won't even ask you. I'll just come out with it.
Okay.
There's no way you know the schedule here. As it turns out, the city has been doing renovations on one of the indoor swimming pools here in Tübingen for most of the winter. So I suggested, hey, why don't we go and shoot in there? I'll bet you they let us shoot in there since it's not open to the public. And they said, oh, yeah, well, actually, it's the last week that we're done. We're almost done renovations. We're open next week. So, yeah, come on in. You guys can have an hour. Go ahead and shoot. So that's what we did. We went and shot in the Hallenbad Nord. You can Google it. Google Maps. And so we went in there. Okay, we found a spot to shoot. Well, why do you... Okay, I already explained about why I needed it dark. Okay? It's pretty much... If you were to shoot this in daylight, in order to kill the ambient light, it's pretty much impossible to do at 1/160th of a second sync speed.
Right.
Which is essentially the max sync speed that you're going to get with most focal plane shutters.
Right.
There's a couple, like you probably could have shot this with the Canon 40D, which is 1/250th of a second, but really that's not going to buy you enough of what you need. You want to be able to really kill it. I probably could have shot this with the X100 at 1/4000th shutter and really killed the ambient and done it outside in the daytime, but I needed the flexibility of the different focal lengths. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we move inside where it is much darker, but it's not dark. It's not 100%. I can't just kill all the ambient light. Plus, there's still workers working around in the pool. And there's floor-to-ceiling windows on one side. So, step one, we move as far away from those as possible. They even said to us, hey, you're not going to smash water against the windows, are you? Because we don't want to clean that. I said, no, we're gonna move far, far away from the windows as far as we can. But still, there's enough light coming in to register.
Okay.
And so now we find our location sort of towards the back. The wall is ugly and etc., but we're hoping to just kill all the ambient, but we can't. Okay, so in order to light this, how many lights did we use? Can you see?
No, I'm gonna guess probably like four.
It was three.
Okay,
four is a reasonable guess. We used three. So here, light number one, like let's start with, the shot of the girl. So light number one is the light lighting up her back, and that's camera left. That's not light number one. That's light number two. Light number one is camera right, and it's lighting up the water. That's what my main focus was, lighting up the water. So that's camera right. It's kind of lowish, like about belt high. And just a bare flash with a quarter CTB on it, just to add a little bit of blue to the light, and that's just firing at about a quarter power straight into where she's going to be swinging. Next light is camera left in behind, and that's what's lighting her hair light and her number. And that also has a CTB, but a half CTB. Probably should have put a quarter on it. I only have one quarter CTB. So it becomes a little bit more blue. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Light number three, now we have to light the subject because we're still getting mostly a silhouette. So just out of frame, camera right is another flash with no CTO on it. It looks like there might be, but it's not. It's just bare into an umbrella. And that's our three lights.
Okay.
Okay. So step one, as Adam said, kill the ambient. Here's how I did it. I maxed out the shutter at 1/160th of a second. That's the most reliable max sync speed. I think you can get away with 1/200th, but with remote flashes, you're hit and miss. You're probably going to do your best at 1/160th. Next, dial in the ISO to as low as you can go. In this case, with the Mark III, the 5D Mark III, that's ISO 100. So that's as low as you can. That's the most light you can kill with those two components.
Okay.
All you have left now is the aperture. So now you're basically, you're at the mercy of whatever aperture you can get. you obviously want to go as wide as you can because you're dealing with Flash. And we'll get to that in a second. But you have no choice. You have to get down to a reasonable amount of ambient light strictly by using the aperture.
Okay.
Did not need to be 100%. You don't need to kill it into complete blackness, which would be nice, but you can live with a little bit of ambient bleed in this case. So, since we can't kill the ambient entirely, and getting away from the windows puts us closer to the back wall of the pool than we would like, we need a better background. Because the pool background, it's going to show up, unfortunately, and it's all over the map. It's going to be terrible. So, worst case, when you're shooting something like this, you can cut your subject out in Photoshop. Zero chance of you doing that for these water drops. You need an actual live background in order to have anything usable.
Okay.
So that meant hanging a black cloth as best I can to cover as much of the background as I can.
Right.
Now, I would have loved the back wall to just be one giant black black cloth. I don't have one that large. So I made sure to cover the area where the water would splash. And the rest is just done digitally. You just cut it out digitally, like around her or him or whatever it is.
Okay.
Now, I would prefer it would just drop off to black naturally, like just in camera. And then you wouldn't even need a background. Like, that's why when you say, like, do it at the park, at the baseball diamond, I would love to do this at midnight in the summertime. And you can go out and do it, you know, out by second base and have nothing in the background for as far as you can go. And everything's just going to fall off naturally in camera. Not the case here. Okay?
Right.
So now you have that dialed in. It was probably around an F8, something like that, that kind of got me down to where I would have mostly no ambient. Next, now we have to dial in the flash power. Right? This is where things get dodgy because we have to kill the ambient with the ISO and aperture. That means we need every bit of flash power we can muster.
Okay.
Because if we kill it with the shutter speed, we can get away with really low power on the flash, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're at F8 ISO 100, which means on these little flashes, what are we talking about?
One half power?
Yeah, for the most part. On the two backlights, I got away with 1/4 power, which is very close. And then through the umbrella, which eats a lot of power, I could only get away with full power.
Mm.
So you threaded that needle right down the middle. Perfect. So that's a problem, though. I don't want to shoot this at full power. What is the problem with full power? Sorry to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to include you in this process.
The recycle time is very slow, so you can only get one shot per swing.
Yeah.
And you're going to get more motion blur.
There it is. Now, I'm only going to shoot one shot per swing anyways. I don't have time to fire away. It'd be pretty cool, but it's just not likely. Like, you either get it or you don't. And a lot of times you don't, actually. The recycle time is a little bit negative because you kind of want to, if you miss, just by a millisecond, which I'll show you in one of the behind-the-scenes shots, then you kind of want to go right away because you're like, oh, man, I got this timing just down. Like, I want to do it right away, but you have to wait. You got to wait, like, sometimes 30 seconds for it to fully charge up, which is a long time when you're sitting around waiting to take the shot. But where it really matters is that motion blur. If you look at these pictures, the action is stopped relatively, but not everywhere.
Right.
Right? So, the with a fixed 1/160 the shutter, the action is going to be stopped by the length of the flash pulse. If we're able to get enough light at 1/64th power, we're going to have it just frozen like that. Because the amount of time the flash is on that exposes it to the camera is so small that we'll get a great motion, a stop motion effect. But since we need much longer to push through that ISO and aperture, now we get that little motion blur. Do you hate the motion blur?
I personally, like in these photos, it's fine, but I hate it. It's one of those things that I just generally am trying to avoid.
Right.
Yeah, but it's fine in these photos, yeah.
It's fine, but if you look close, like so some areas of like let's say looking like her or his upper body or something like that, you can see the one the full flash power still freezes those relatively still areas.
Mm-hmm.
But other parts where like the hands are moving fast, or like you look at her forearms, there's a little bit of motion blur there. I kind of don't mind that it's mixed within this image. I like that we get some stops, some motion. The water is blurry enough that you can see there's motion, but it's still defined enough that it is water. So I like that part of it. I would have liked to have the option. I would like to shoot this at night in the summertime where I can get a good exposure at 1/64th of a second flash power. Or at full power. Like I can then go and choose later and shoot multiple images and decide. But that was the one big drawback on this one. I did not have that option.
Right.
And then lastly, in order that's all the technical stuff aside. Any questions about how we did this?
No.
Okay. Turns out you need quite a few takes to get this timing down right. There's the shutter. First of all, there's a little bit of shutter lag. And then a little bit of flash lag, like you're using wireless remotes. In this case, I had two backlights were with the wireless remotes, and the umbrella light, the main light, was on an optical sensor, which all worked fine. But you kind of have to get that timing down, like just when to push the shutter, exactly when to get the maximum effect.
And why no high speed sync attempt?
That's a possibility. Now, I don't have you need three dedicated flashes. You need three brand flashes to make high speed sync work.
Okay, and you don't have that.
No, I don't. I have one.
Okay.
And in that case, it's not going to happen. So, I thought about that, and especially if you're going to shoot outside, especially the high speed sync would work great. Except, as I said, you need three, like in this case, three Canon flashes that can handle high speed sync. You're still going to have a problem on the recycle time because high-speed sync uses a lot of flash power.
Right.
What it will do is it will allow you a much faster shutter speed, which will then counteract the motion blur.
Right.
But battery power, you're not gaining anything on that. So in order to trigger all three, not the easiest. Definitely doable. I would much rather do it with the X100, which you can then sync up to 1/4,000th of a second with regular flashes. But you then give up. Now you're shooting everything in a 35mm, and you're getting your camera wet.
Right.
Because you're in close. Like this one, the side shots, like the shot of her, I'm shooting with the 24-105. And then that's handheld. And then we started shooting the head-on ones. I knew I needed to get back pretty far to avoid getting splashed. So I got the tripod out and shot with the 70-200 at 200 so I could get far enough back. Still get the same frame, but not get wet.
Right.
So I didn't want to risk that with the X100, or maybe the bat gets wet and lets loose and either my camera gets brained or I do. I don't want that. So, not really an option in this case.
Okay.
Okay, so I posted a couple of behind-the-scenes ones, too. You can see where I got my timing just off. So, it's kind of cool. I specifically like the one where she's actually making contact with the balloon. You get that split second where it's actually just starting to burst.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to use that one, though.
No, it's cooler with the water spray.
Definitely cooler with the water spray. And that's it. That's what we shot this week.
Okay.
Monthly challenge for February is portrait. That's a portrait of a not family member. We want to encourage you. We'll talk about this email a different episode, but got a very nice email a couple days ago from a listener in relation to the monthly challenge. So that was very nice. We'll share parts of that, or at least the theme of that. Weekly challenge for next week, Adam. I got one if you don't.
Go ahead. I always think of the midweek and then I forget. I'm drawing a blank. I'm going to have to start writing things down.
Water balloon baseball. No, high-speed sync baseball. No, weekly challenge is candid.
Okay.
All right. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. Not that she's still listening, but I hope that was slightly funnier this week, Sarah, but I don't think it was.
No. She says no.
No,
she's a live studio audience back here.
We've lost her. This is like season 5 of Friends. We're out. Not funny, Joey.
Yeah.
All right. You find the two of us at Two Hosers. I said that part good enough. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.